Catherine Feeney on ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland.
Have you ever wondered whether the world really is an angrier place? Road rage, phone rage, fights at children's football matches, fights at parent-teacher nights, anger online, anger offline. Anger and rage exploited by populist politicians, shared and spread through the anti-social media. Is this the age of rage? Or has it always been like this? Is the world really an angrier place? Is this something that you've wondered about recently? My producer, Rob Minchell, was abused in a car park last week. My mate works for a company in Brisbane that's implemented a happiness project. So worried are they about anger amongst employees? But are we really living in the age of rage? Last year, 22% of respondents across 142 countries polled by Gallup globally said they felt angry. 22%, which was 2 percentage points higher than in 2017. It's at a new record since this survey was first conducted in 2006. So the statistics seem to suggest that the world is an angrier place, but you know what they say about statistics and polls. So what do you reckon? What can you tell me? Do you feel like you are living in an angrier world? Call now if you'd like to share your insights, your experiences this afternoon. My phone number is 1-300-222-612. That's 1-300-222-612. If you have ever wondered about whether you're living in the age of rage, if someone has just blown up in your face, expressed a great degree of anger towards you, and just left you feeling, hang on, how is this happening? And why does it feel like it's happening more often? What do you reckon? Are we living in the age of rage? Is the world an angrier place now than it used to be? Do you reckon you're living in a madder, badder, angrier world?
You're with Catherine Feeney on ABC Radio, Brisbane and Queensland.
Minutes past 2. What would you do? How would you feel if you were abused by a complete stranger in a public place? There you are, minding your own business. You're just going about your day, doing the right thing, when all of a sudden someone is shouting and screaming at you. Might be road rage, car park rage. It's common. And the fact that it's common or it feels common is slightly terrifying. Is this because the world is an angrier place? Do people seem angrier to you? That's the topic that we're discussing this afternoon on ABC Radio Brisbane and Gold Coast with our Council of Elders, our weekly meeting of mature minds. I'd love to know what you think about this, though. 1-300-222-612. That's my phone number this afternoon. 1-300-222-612. Have you been, for example, the victim of road rage? Do you feel that the world really is becoming an angrier place? Now, what would you do? How would you feel if a complete stranger started screaming and shouting at you for no good reason? Well, that's exactly what happened to the producer of this program, Rob Minchell, the other day. Rob, what exactly happened?
I was trying to park in a car park for a haircut. It was early in the morning, around 9:30 or so. I steered into the car park, into the space, and this elderly lady just wound her window down and screamed abuse, really bad language, manic, aggressive behaviour. And I said, what's the problem? She said, you've stolen my space. And the guy who was walking past said, calm down, lady. He was indicating long before you arrived in this car park. And she abused him and she screamed and she waved her arms and she swore and she was threatening. And I just pulled out and drove off and let her have the space, and I drove around the block and found somewhere else. But it was early in the morning. Why was she so angry?
And this has led you to wonder whether we're living in an angrier world.
Indeed.
Okay, so that is the question this afternoon. Rob Minchell and I want to know whether you think we are living in an angrier world. And to help us explore this question in detail, thanks to lives led many years of lived experience shared between them, your councillors this afternoon on this Council of Elders, you're joined in studio by Judy Magub and Neil Peach, Dr. Neil Peach. I'd like to take your calls as well, 1-300-222-612. If you have some insight, do you think that we are living in the age of rage? Is the world an angrier place? You can call now, 1-300-222-612. That's 1-300-222-612. Judy Magub, let me come to you first this afternoon. Now, you worked in politics, you were a local councillor, so you're familiar with the argy-bargy of what might happen in, say, the political environment. But you've moved on to wedding celebration and funeral celebration and in recent years. Have you observed a greater degree of rage in the general public over this time?
I would have to say yes to that.
Okay.
But not with everybody. When you people get angry and talk about rage, it's almost always to do with traffic and cars and parking, and somehow this aspect of lives is making people very angry. And I think there's also an aspect of people, some people out there who are just looking out for themselves and not showing, they're in a great rush all the time, they're inconvenienced and they get angry, and often to do with traffic and cars.
Okay, traffic and cars. Dr. Neil Peach, you've done a great many things in your life. You're currently, though, better known supposedly as, I suppose, as the president of the Brisbane District Lawn Bowls Association. Can't see there being too much rage down at the green, or is there?
Kat, there is nothing more responsible for the good old days than a bad memory.
I see.
And the prospect that we're getting angrier is not indicated by any evidence across the world. Generally, the world is getting a better place to live. People are more safe, more comfortable, more healthy. All of those attributes are what the facts are. But when you ask people those questions, everyone thinks it's a lot worse than it really is. My take is that we're a lot more sensitive and we're a lot more expressive.
A lot more expressive. That's interesting.
And my wife and I went to Italy a couple of years ago, and there were people yelling and screaming all over the place. And if you'd been in Australia, you would have expected them to be angry. But what I found was they were expressing themselves energetically, and there was very little anger there at all. And without anger, so many bad things wouldn't be fixed in the world. If we didn't get angry every now and again, who would do anything to change things? So anger is a positive thing. It's how you transform it. And I think the issue is if you mix a busy lifestyle and territory and you put people in cars, then you have anger and territory, and they're both strong evolutionary drivers that really are a potent chemistry for people to express themselves. I don't think there's any evidence anywhere to suggest we're getting angrier.
Except for the Gallup poll, but we all know what we feel about polls at the moment in this country, which did seem to find, this was a poll that was conducted last year. It covered more than 100 countries around the world and found that there'd been an increase in the number of people saying that they felt they were angry or angrier. So more anger reported than since the beginning of the poll in 2006, but polls, truth, lies and statistics. ABC Radio Brisbane and Gold Coast is where you find yourself this afternoon. It's 20 minutes past two, and you're joining in the Council of Elders, our weekly meeting of mature minds. They share years of life experience between them, and I like to turn to them for insight and advice to give me maybe a different perspective and maybe offer you a perspective that you hadn't considered before. You're, of course, welcome to join the conversation, 1-300-222-612. Is the world an angrier place? I'd like to come back to what you were talking about initially, Judy, picking up a little bit on what Neil has said. With regards to the roads, now, roads aren't new, cars aren't new. You've observed anger and rage on roads. Why do you think people are angrier on roads these days?
I think people are under stress, and we've always had stresses, but I think at the moment, in recent times, people maybe aren't dealing with it as well because, I don't think there's enough, maybe not enough support for them in their lives. You think of someone who's, you're concerned about somebody, what do you do these days? Send a text, are you okay? Years ago, we would have been to see them. How are you? How are you? Give them a call, have a chat. I don't think maybe there's enough support networks there for people who are feeling angry and frustrated. So they inflict their anger and frustration on other people. Mm-hmm. And this isn't everyone. This is just, you know, some people that you observe doing this.
And I think that's a great point. That kind of links in a little bit with what you were talking about, Neil, from an evolutionary perspective, because we understand that anger is a primitive function of the human psyche, human behaviour. It's been with us forever. And as you said, it can help you achieve things. It can be a good thing. It can bring about change. But I feel anger is also about control. And that's evidenced in the territory v. anger picture that you painted before. I wonder if we're angrier because we feel less in control of our lives, in control of how the people we love are living their lives, less in control of who comes in and out of our life. Neil, what do you think? Is it about control? Is that what's making us angry or feeling like everyone's angrier?
I think territory and space are critical elements in all species, including humans. And Gillies Deleuze suggests that the first artistic expressions of any animals is seen in birdsong. And if you listen to a butcher bird in the morning, it is such a beautiful song. But that is a territorial expression of that bird's place in the world. And without territory and space, every species would kill itself because you need a certain amount of distance in order to be able to be safe and to live effectively.
So high-rise apartments are making us angrier, Neil?
Well, I think that you need the sense of space and territory, and I don't think that's necessarily a physical thing. And I think that motor vehicles, they make you more powerful. They amplify the anger because they're machines that are capable of doing a lot of damage. And when I see young people riding around on scooters around Brisbane on tiny little wheels at going at 30 kilometres an hour, I just wonder how much they actually are in control, but it feels good.
And the space is online too these days as well. It's not just your personal space that you're having to share, whether it's on the roads, in your home with other people, or in your home environment with a lot of people living on top of each other in an apartment, for instance. But it's the personal space that exists online in your social media world. And we all know what it might be like to wake up in the morning to a barrage of abuse from perfect strangers just because you happen to post something on your Twitter, on your Facebook, and so on. That's really interesting. We'll take your calls this afternoon. 1-300-222-612 is the phone number if you'd like to join in our discussion about whether we're living in the age of rage. On ABC Radio Brisbane and Gold Coast, this is the Council of Elders, and your studio councillors are Judy Magub and Neil Peach. James on the Gold Coast, go ahead, councillor. What do you think?
Councillor, I actually feel that we perpetuate the situation that we're in at the moment. And the main reason I say that is that when you ask people to ring in and give them an account of what happened to them, it stirs up the anger in all of us when we read, oh, that was terrible, that, you know, what happened to that person. I actually think programs now should be talking about, hey, look at the fantastic thing this guy did for me. You then create a positive attitude for everybody. It's so good to feel something that is really good. You hear somebody's had a fantastic experience. That lifts your spirit if you're driving in the car. And so you don't have a negative attitude.
That's a really great point, James, actually. And on that point, I want to say two things. One, I pick up a little bit that maybe the media is not always as helpful as it could be to this end. Is that what you're thinking?
I do, because it seems that they feel that will make the story and people will listen.
Ah, shock, horror, fury, rage. Yeah, play at the heartstrings. I hear you on that point. And James, on the second point that you make about replacing conversations around anger with conversations that are positive, i.e. about happiness, I'm curious to see what Neil says about that. Because Neil, you were actually saying earlier that a conversation about anger or anger itself could be positive.
Absolutely.
Tell me more.
Well, a couple of points, and that is that there seems to be a human trait bias towards pessimism, and I think that the media has been quite a contributor to actually reinforcing that pessimism. And I think that finding the good side or the optimistic side is not easy. And it's possibly not as saleable as the negative side. And it's very difficult today to be optimistic, even though the statistics, the information more generally is, this is a much improved world. And I'll go back to my first comment, nothing is more responsible for the good old days than a bad memory.
Well said, Neil. Thank you. And James, thank you so much for your call and your contribution. We'll keep moving. John in Sanford, you have a theory on why people might be angrier, or at least why we think people might be more angry. What is it?
It's that this world we live in seems to be full of impatience. Impatience about lots of things. Computers have decided or shown us that we can get answers instantly, and we expect everything to be instant. So we're impatient about everything. And then impatience leads to all sorts of behaviours. Anger is one of them. Risk-taking is another. Accidents on the road, for example, and anger on the road is about impatience. We're impatient to get somewhere quickly, and we get annoyed of being held up.
Mm. Good point, John. Judy Makeup, can I ask you what you say in response to that, the idea of impatience?
I agree about patience, and I also look at courtesy and tolerance. I think that plays a big part in it. Can I just give you an example? I was in a long queue for pre-polling, and a man came and just jumped the queue, just, you know, and I immediately thought this could be quite an angry situation. And the person behind him said, "Excuse me, this is a queue, you need to go to the end." And another person said, "It's moving quickly, you'll be through pretty quickly." And it was the way they treated him with courtesy. He just went to the end of the queue, but it could have been a completely different situation had someone become very antagonistic to him. Mm. I just observed courtesy and tolerance solving a situation.
I am glad that you talk about courtesy and tolerance there. We're talking a little bit about culture here, really. Maybe whether it's a culture of courtesy or a culture of rage, which is more dominant. That's the conversation we're having on ABC Radio Brisbane and Gold Coast this afternoon. If you've just joined in, you're hearing from Judy Makeup and Neil Peach, your studio counsellors in our Council of Elders. I'm Catherine Feeney. And taking your calls as well this afternoon, and Kim on the Gold Coast, tapping into this idea of what culture is dominant. You're thinking, again, the culture of anger is the one being most promoted, again, by the media. Am I reading you right, Kim?
No, my comments were more on the fact that I think the world is less anger management, if you like, or less angry and violent, because if you go back over the hundreds of years, we've had wars created by men's greed and religious conflict. So I think we are a better society. However, I do think there is some cultures within society, particularly aimed at violence through media, where, you know, even cartoons become quite violent, even though they were before. It's even more in the face of the young. So and I agree with the last lady who was talking about patience and courtesy. You know, that's certainly the case. I've had road rage and abuse on the road because somebody couldn't get their own way or wanted to push in or anything like that, and they weren't being allowed to do what they wanted to do at their time because, as the other gentleman said, everybody seems to be impatient these days because the world has moved on and it's very fast.
Yeah, busily, busily, busily doing what exactly? I mean, if we've got so much that we feel we need to achieve, have the demands actually changed so much? I mean, it's still food, shelter, love and family, right? But it's such a busy, crowded place. This impression of rush and this impression of immediacy and urgency, it's kind of hard to escape. Good to hear from you, Kim. Thank you for your call. I want to reflect a little bit about the point that Kim made regarding children and the way they may be exposed to anger and violence that is different in, say, 2019 as compared to the 1950s. I look at the kind of movies or the content of movies and the way that they're classified, and things like swearing are permissible in a way that it never used to be. Is violence more permissible as part of, say, children's programming in a way that it wasn't when your children were young growing up? What do you think?
Can I recall a story that my dad used to tell me about his growing up and when he used to go to school? He can recall how many of his friends of his age were abused at home, and they were belted, and they were belted mercilessly. And they came to school, and there were all the signs of it, such that my father, when he was 10 or 11, recognised it himself. I think we've changed a lot since then, and I think the acceptability of that sort of behaviour is not so much. It proves that we have improved. And I think that the other side of that coin is that I've noticed that my kids' kids don't get to watch the news. They're young, under 10, and their parents don't think that it's a positive experience for them. And so they choose at this age not to turn the TV on and watch the news in order to try and preserve some of that innocence of youth. And so if people are exposed to it too much and too early, then it does require in this world, because the information is so readily available and it's everywhere that the children go, that parents do have a strong responsibility to try and protect the extent of that violence if we do want to improve our society.
Judy, I'm keen to hear your thoughts in a moment, but I just wanted to bring in Bruce at Morayfield, because Bruce, you've got a point to make about personal responsibility. Go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm a firm believer that people need to take ownership of their own actions and responsibilities these days. There's so many people going around, or almost everyone goes around blaming someone else or something else for the situation they're in. They need to take control of that, and that might wind this anger down a little bit if they just step back and do something about their own reactions to the situation.
Thanks, Bruce. Good point. And Judy, I guess, sort of in closing, that kind of goes back to what you were saying at the very beginning, that there are some people who seem to be kind of existing, reacting to the world around them.
Yes.
Rather than living in the world.
They're under so much pressure and they take out this anger and frustration on others around them. And I think we just have to be careful we show respect to others, because children are learning from their parents how they're coping with that pressure. They see how they cope. But I agree with Neil about the violence on television and the impact on children, although I recall being in our living room, the Vietnam War being on the TV, and my parents being concerned about us watching that, and that's going back a long way. So it's not new.
Neil, Dr. Neil Peach, we're almost out of time. Some wise words from you in closing this afternoon.
I think we have enormous opportunities to use anger for much more good than negative, and to recognise that anger, it's not that you get angry, it's how you transform it and how you convert it, and that's where the difference can be. If we harness the anger, we will do a lot more good than harm for human beings.
Neil Peach, Judy Magob, it's been a delight, a privilege, a very positive experience, I feel anyway, talking with you this afternoon. Thank you so much for your time and joining us on the Council of Elders.
You're listening to Catherine Feeney on ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland.